Okay, now we are going to go, again, we are on section four, administrative review of previous actions. We are now going to go to, number four, 1937, regards to Crystal Delano, DVM, quarterly board appearance as required by consent agreement. Board may review, discuss, and take action on information presented. Thank you for being here. And Ms. Solomon, you are the lead.
Thank you. And Dr. Delano, very nice to see you again and see that smile on your face. Are things going well?
Yes.
Good. Great. This is like your second to the last.
I was going to say, aren't we getting near?
We're getting real close. It's a minimum of 5 years probation, and that 5 years ends March 15th of 2024. So we have one more. And for that, I would like to give you an assignment, and that's your five-year retrospective.
Okay.
And to
we want a PowerPoint and one.
There you go. Yeah, just you're in your own words. I'm not going to specify any length or anything like that. But address both the personal and the professional, if you will.
You got it. I can do that.
Don't go overboard and overthink that.
I know, right? Yeah. We don't want five pages.
Right.
Are you sure?
That's why I said we're not yet.
An hour.
But I think that that generally, historically, for the last over 4 years, you have been in compliance the entire time, as I recall, which I want to commend you for. Compliance, you bought into it and you dove into it head first and accepted it all, and it shows, and you're being very successful.
Thank you.
So I have nothing further to add except that I look forward to seeing you for that one more time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good. So thank you. We appreciate that you drive all the way down to see us for these few minutes, but
I wish I had more delving questions.
All right.
Also, I think you're just a great example to others.
Absolutely.
That are going through this as well.
Thank
so.
You. Yes. Thank you for being an example. Yes.
Okay. Well, thank you. That's all we got for you.
Okay. Have a good rest of your day.
Yeah.
You
happy,
too.
Happy holidays.
Enjoy the drive.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. Now I'm going to take, number one under that same section, 1971, in regards to Celeste Roy, DVM, quarterly board appearance as required by consent agreement. Board may review, discuss, and take action on information presented.
Walking really
well. Thank you.
That's great.
It's pretty good for 3 months.
That is amazingly well for 3 months.
Again, thanks for being here, and kind of the same, Ms. Solomon is the lead. And
yes, Dr. Roy, very nice to see you again and see your lovely smile. And again, to see you walking so well. 3 months, that's pretty amazing. You must have really been working out in physical therapy.
A lot of physical therapy and a lot of ice. It was the most painful thing I've ever been through, though. I mean, it was, you were just laying there for about a week and a half, just whimpering. Oh. But after that, then you're okay.
Wow. Well, wow. Kudos for bravely going through it. Again, I want to commend you on your excellent efforts for compliance with your consent agreement. I don't think we've all noticed it, and it's been, I mean, you give us everything before we can even ask for it. So it is very much appreciated. And again, it shows you've embraced the recovery process, which is great. So
and again, are we near the end?
We're still like another year and a half.
Yes.
Just kidding.
We're not close.
That's close, though, in the grand.
Well, yeah, in 5 years, right? A year and a half is really.
Yeah. We're well over the midpoint.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
How's things going at IDEX? Have you had any interesting cases you would like to share with us?
No, I mean, things are the same. We're just really, really busy. And so now, with everybody jumping into CBCT, the cone beam CT, which is instead of everybody taking full mouth dental radiographs, they want to take a cone beam because it's 0.3 millimeters, which is even smaller than a CT. So you can see everything.
Wow.
You can see the periodontal ligament. I mean, 0.3 millimeters is tiny. So I can see everything. So that's kind of the new thing that's out.
Great. And what is it called again?
Cone beam CT.
Interesting.
So,
That's fascinating.
Yeah, you'll be hearing a lot about that.
Okay. Great, great. Thank you for educating us. So is there anything you wanted, how are things in Santa Rosa with your parents?
Wonderful. I got to be there for my dad's surgery. He's doing fabulous. I got to come back here and go to hyperbaric oxygen chamber treatment, which is why I'm doing so well. I just wanted to get that in. I go to, they take me to 1.5 atmospheres. And so when you're breathing this oxygen in, it slams it into the tissues that don't normally get oxygenated. So that's why I have no swelling.
That is cool.
Yeah,
that is cool. Modern medicine is
pretty
amazing.
Modern medicine, yeah. You just got to do your research.
Yeah. Evidently, you have done yours well. That is great. I have never seen anybody recover from knee replacement that well and that quickly. So thank you. If there's anything you'd like to...
I don't think so.
Any questions of board members?
No. You got the great work.
Great. Well, thank you so much.
Yes.
I appreciate your guys' time.
Yeah.
I'll get back to Tucson.
Okay. All right. We are now on, let's see. So again, section number 4, we're going to go to number 3, combined cases 22136 and 2303 in regards to Maya Bella Pianta, DVM. Monthly appearance is required by consent agreement. Board may review, discuss, and take action on compliance with consent agreement and other information presented, and may amend the ICA.
Madam Chair, could I update the board on something?
Yes.
Which is at the last board meeting, the board members, the board wanted to issue an interim order for her to get an updated evaluation. That was issued. Her attorney's team recognized my error and that I had error in the time frame of that order. So I need to revise that and send it out again. So she's not yet required to be working on that because they haven't received the correct copy.
The 30, 60, 90 day?
Yes,
okay.
That one. I have the time frame wrong. Yes.
Okay, but so it's being corrected or it hasn't been signed yet?
I have not yet sent them the corrected version.
Okay, thank you.
So that's where we are.
All right, well, Ms. Allman, you're the lead, but however you guys want to start by just kind of giving us
an
update?
Yes, I want to defer to
Flynn.
Sure, I have no updates. I believe Dr. Belpianta is in compliance, so I think this is just a check-in at this point.
I do have one compliance question. We have received a letter, a very general, brief letter from the sponsor, and it doesn't just say that you've been there. The consent agreement specifies 3 times a week, and we don't have attendance records, and we don't have that in the confirmation letter.
Oh, you want her to write that for me too? I can have her change the email.
Yeah, we need to. You need to somehow, however you want to do it. Either provide, we have some people provide log records of attending meetings that they keep. We have some that have the sponsor send us an attendance sheet, you know, however you would prefer to deal with it. The requirement is for the CA is 3 times a week.
So we have internal to our firm, and we use also the nursing board's firm. They have form. They have a log, so we may be able to just do the log and get the sponsor. But I'll talk to Dr. Belpianta, and we'll correct that.
That's the only thing that question that I had. So.
Sure.
Board members have any questions?
No, I don't believe so.
How are things going otherwise?
Okay. I did have a really bad food poisoning recently, so I missed a doctor's appointment that I need to have a report in for, but I have it rescheduled for the 25th.
What doctor is that?
My primary care.
Okay.
So, but that it will be coming on the 25th as soon as I get this.
Did you advise our office? Okay. Great.
Okay.
I hope you feel better.
Yeah, I am finally.
What did you eat? What was it from?
It was seafood pasta. I think I'm never going to eat seafood that I haven't cooked myself again.
I love seafood, but I always
eat
it.
I don't eat sushi anymore.
Yeah.
Don't
last time it was lobster, so. Now I know.
Wow.
Okay. Well, if there's nothing more, then
quickly. So there's no update on the criminal end.
I don't believe we have anything right now. I met and conferred with her criminal counsel recently, and it's still moving along.
Okay.
We'll provide an update.
If there's something to update.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Course.
Thank you. All right.
Okay.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Okay, let's see. I don't think we have.
I was just gonna share, so since Dr. Pickett doesn't have an attorney and she's not gonna participate, we don't need to do it now. We can wait till later.
Okay, got it. Okay, because yeah, I was just trying to look at my schedule. I don't think I have any other things that were needing to be done quite yet. We've got 30 minutes-ish. So let's go back to section number 2, the initial investigative review and action on the following cases. We're gonna be starting back up at the top. Number 1, 23-119 in regards to Margaret Sorensen, DBM.
Sure. Case 23-119. The complainant is Sherry Ray. The respondent is Margaret Sorensen, DBM. On November 22nd, 2022, Ms. Katie, a 1-year-old female domestic medium hair cat, was presented to respond for a spay procedure. The surgery was performed and the cat was discharged later that day. The cat returned to respondent twice due to incision dehiscence, which respondent repaired under anesthesia each time. December 3rd, 2022, due to continued incision issues, the cat was presented to the CAM referral and emergency center of Arizona for a second opinion. The incision site was cleaned and left open to heal by second intention. A few days later, 2 staples were placed, although the incision appeared to be healing well and infection had improved. On December 9th, 2022, the cat's incision was cleaned under sedation at Pace and Pet Care. On December 15th, 2022, the cat was seen at Star Valley Veterinary Clinic and treated with Convenia. The cat received another injection of Convenia approximately 2 weeks later due to continued redness after staples were removed. And the committee concluded that no violation of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred, and it was moved and seconded to approve the vote with 4-0.
Okay. Thank you. We have no complaint and no respondent, but we do have Mr. Stoll here.
Monitoring for one of the witnesses, yes.
Okay, got it. And Dr. James, you are the lead.
So, what my review of this case is that, I mean, this cat certainly had complications post the spay that the respondent, I feel, was handling appropriately. Some of these can go on for quite some time, so it's not surprising to me that it has taken a couple visits, especially if the reason for the incision issue is a reaction to a suture, a reaction to something. Like some cats, or actually some animals and people and everything else, have that, and those are ones that are going to continue to struggle. So I don't necessarily see anything in here that I feel like was below the standard of care or anything like that. I think it's just some of these are going to take longer, and the fact that they ended up having to go somewhere else was their choice to get a second opinion. I think it's good, but I just don't necessarily think that that means the doctor did anything wrong.
I know, but you can tell as a, you know, again, the lay person, as an owner, that would just never cross my mind that I would be going in for something general like a spay and having to go back again and again and again. So you can certainly understand from their perspective, you know, why they're going, what is happening? What did they do wrong? Clearly, you know, so I agree that there was nothing that fell below the standard of care, but I definitely understand from that the client's perspective that it could come across at that.
And being someone who does react to suture, I've had incisions happen.
Okay.
Suture 3 and 4 times. So I get that.
Yeah.
You know, like it happened. So I don't know if you saw anything different in the medical handling of this case or?
No, that's the way you have to handle these, and they are problematic.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll just start over and cut all the tissue out and use a totally different suture or even wire, you know,
yeah.
Non-reactive.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I didn't see anything, and that's the way you handle it. They felt them. First time that it might have been the cat, they witnessed it gouging the incisions.
With the color.
Yeah. And so I question why we didn't correct that right then, because apparently the cat kept doing it.
Yeah, and it was the second time that they suggested the soft collar.
Soft collar, yeah. Right. I would have preferred they suggested something else the first time, but
yeah.
whether that's yeah. And the initial photo looked like, a post-op looked like it had hair, and it wasn't, maybe a prep could have been better. Did that factor in? Probably not. I don't know if you noticed that.
I didn't see the hair.
I wondered.
Yeah, it was just,
I mean,
like the prep wasn't
it
wide enough.
A wider field.
Yeah, because the hair was kind of drawn close, which may or may not have been a factor. Probably not.
Okay, do we have a motion?
I would make a motion that we find no violations in the case of 23-119.
Second.
Okay, a motion and a second to dismiss case 23-119. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes. All right. Continuing on, number two, 23-120 in regards to Brian Buchanan, DVM. Tracy, do the summary.
Yes. Case 23-120, the complainant is Rachel Tipton. The respondent is Brian Buchanan, DVM. Complainant contends that she requested a copy of the medical records from her host, her horse Tammy Moe, an 11-year-old quarter horse gelding, on February 18th, 2023. She stated a complete set of medical records was not provided to her, only notes were provided, no details of care. Furthermore, complainant stated that a lameness exam that had been conducted in January of 2023 had been omitted completely from the records. Respondent stated that he was on vacation with him and requested a copy of the medical records. He only sent her a brief copy unknowingly due to the options selected from his program. Respondent was unaware complainant was upset with respect to the file, and she had never contacted him for a more detailed medical record. And the committee concluded that no violations of the Veterinary Practice Act occurred, and it was moved and seconded to for the board to dismiss this issue with no violations. Not a motion was approved with vote of 4-0.
Okay, thank you. We have no respondent, no complainant, and Ms. Solomon, you are the lead.
Yes, thank you. I concur with the investigative committee's review and recommendation and move we dismiss case 23-120 with no violation.
Second.
Motion and a second. I would just like to add, these horse cases always confuse me with regard to ownership and who is responsible for what and can make whatever ask or decision. Yeah, so anyways, there's no further discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Number 23-121 in regards to Julia Lynn, DVM.
Case 23-121, the complainant is Mary Rickabaugh. The respondent is Julia Lynn, DVM. On March 10th, 2023, Mojo, a 7.5-year-old male miniature pincher, was presented to respondent's associate for an exam and blood draw. The dog was taken into the treatment room to obtain a blood sample and trim the toenails by technical staff. Staff was unsuccessful in collecting a blood sample, therefore asked respondent to assist. Respondent was unable to collect the blood and the dog was the respondent was able to collect the blood and the dog was discharged. Later that day, complainant called the premises to report the dog's neck was painful, was unable to lay down, and she could not touch the dog's neck without him crying in pain. Complainant was advised that if the dog did not improve in a day or two, she should call back. The complainant stated that the dog had a hematoma on the neck and was in pain for about 3 days. Respondent stated that she did not recall drawing blood from the dog, but she frequently assists technical staff with blood draws and restraint. When there is a client complaint, staff are trained to place communications in a callback box to be addressed by appropriate staff. Unfortunately, this did not occur in this case, and complainant's concerns were not addressed timely. And the respondent is the responsible vet for the premises. And the committee concluded that no violation of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred, and it was moved and seconded to the board to dismiss this issue with no violation. The motion was approved with a vote of 4-0.
Okay, thank you. Please let the record state Dr. Nosley is recused on this item. We have no complainant, no respondent, and Dr. James, you are the lead.
So when I look at the case materials and what the respondent actually was involved in, like I think the blood draw was handled appropriately. I didn't see anything there that indicated that excessive restraint had been used or anything like that. I think the respondent got involved as appropriately, like when the technician was having issues, you know, they called for the respondent. I think all of that was good. I think that the concern I have is at the point that the owner called and had concerns on a really painful neck, on a hematoma, on a dog that already we already know has a bleeding disorder, that the clinic neglected to continue with any follow-up. And it certainly sounds like it's a breakdown in how the clinic typically operates and that typically they would have called this owner back. I don't think it would have changed the outcome here, and I feel like the owner could have also called back as she was instructed to do if things had gotten worse. But I do feel like as this respondent also is the responsible veterinarian, that there's a little bit of a letter of concern on ensuring that clients that are calling with an issue, that is getting to the doctor and that the clinic is following up to make sure that there's not a bigger issue. So I think if anything, I'd be leaning towards a letter of concern, but otherwise I would support the investigative committee's findings of no violations.
Okay.
And the letter of concern was addressed? Can you elaborate what the letter of concern would address?
Ensuring that the clinic protocols, which she says are to follow up when an owner calls with a concern, that the clinic is to follow up and make sure that happens. I think if they had also let the doctor know at the time that this dog had a really painful neck, they might have done something differently. So ensuring that communication when owners call is communicated to a doctor and that the clinic is following up appropriately on these cases.
And that was your motion, right?
Yep.
A second.
Okay. We have a motion and a second to offer a letter of concern in this case. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Number four, 23-123, in regards to Desiree Garth, DVM. Tracy, if you'll read the summary.
Yes, case 23-123, the complainant is Mark Herman, the respondent is Desiree Garth, DVM. On March 30th, 2023, Smokey, an 11-year-old female domestic partner cat, was presented to respond for a dental procedure. The cat was anesthetized, dental radiographs were performed, and respondent began extracting infected teeth. The cat's anesthetic pain was challenging, possibly due to the cat's painful mouth. While monitoring the cat, technical staff noted the cat's heartbeat had diminished and CPR was initiated. Resuscitation efforts were unsuccessful and the cat passed away. The committee concluded that no violation of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred, and it was moved and seconded that the board dismiss this issue with no violation. The motion was approved with a vote of 4-0.
Okay, thank you. Please let the record state Ms. Solomon is recused on this item. We have no complainant, and we have Mr. Stoll here for the respondent.
Monitoring only.
Okay, monitoring only. And where am I? Let's see, Dr. James, you are the lead.
So in looking at this case, my concern here is obviously anesthetic complications and things will happen, and I didn't see anything that necessarily fell below our practice act. I'm a little concerned that I could not find anywhere that a necropsy was offered, and I listened to the audio and didn't hear it in the investigative questioning, but to me I feel like that would have been an appropriate response would be, you have a cat that died under anesthesia, let's look at a necropsy to figure out what happened. And it probably, I mean, obviously it wouldn't change the course of outcome, but it would have potentially given closure to this owner. But that's really the only thing I can comment on from this case that I found. Any other comments? And I would also say, I don't think a necropsy is required by our statutes when this happened, so I can't really link that to a violation. I just think it should have happened. But I guess I would say in the case of 23-123 that I would support the investigative committee findings of no violations.
Second.
Okay. Have a motion and a second. Find no violation in the case of 23-123. Is there any further discussion? All those
For one point, so I didn't see it brought up is at the outset of the complaint, where it says, I took my healthy 11-year-old cat in But he took it in because it wasn't eating and it was drooling.
Right.
So, you know, you got to manage your own expectations.
Right. Agreed.
My otherwise healthy 11-year-old.
Yeah, my otherwise.
Right.
Quote unquote.
Right. Did you look at the drug dosages? Were they appropriate?
I did. I don't use those drugs, but I did calculate them.
Yeah. Again, my same comment about aceclomazine.
Yeah.
If you follow what Plum says about aceclomazine, your dog's going to be asleep, or your cat, 2 days later.
Yeah.
The doses are not what we use. And this was a little high for what I would use in a cat. We did monitor blood pressure, and that's the big problem with it, when you give too much.
I mean, and that's kind of a challenging one to review, because it's not a drug that I would typically use, but when I look at these cases, I just calculate to make sure that it is within range.
Sure.
After, outside of that,
yeah, what can you, yeah.
I don't know that we can really.
Yeah, it's a funny one, because you'll talk to any practitioner that uses it, which I still do, because sometimes you want that length. But you have to be extremely. In a cat, I color the solution yellow. That's as much as I'm going to draw. And this was 0.25. Yeah. But again, the blood pressures stayed good. I was a little concerned about the elevated temperature during the procedure.
Mm-hmm.
That's unusual. And the uneven plane, but I don't think there was anything done wrong.
Well, and she, I don't even know, notated that there was a level plane.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they were monitoring
this
and assessing it. It just...
And they gave head a start at one point, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I just couldn't find...
Cool. Yeah.
I know. This wasn't exactly just a completely routine dental for, you know, so they were going in there because the cat, you know, is having issues. So I think that's partly, too, where, you know, you're trying to continue on, because we all know, you know. Okay, so are we still...
So we have a motion and a second, right?
Yeah, to dismiss. So I just want to... Okay. But it sounds like we've had this good discussion, and Mr. Stoll will likely take this back to his
Taking it back to his seat.
Okay. all right. All those in favor of dismissing case 23-123, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Okay. We're going to keep going here. So we are now on number 6, 23-133, in regards to Stephen Thomason, DBM. Tracy, you'll read the summary.
Yes, case 23-133, the complainant is Bob Shepherd, the respondent is Stephen Thomason, DBM. Trevor, an 11-year-old male spaniel mix, began having swelling, bleeding, and necrosis to the soft tissue area of the caudal right mandible in January 2022. Biopsy revealed spindle cells and neoplasia was suspected. In July 2022, the swelling continued. Cytologic findings were consistent with sarcoma. The mass was excised in September 2022, and radiation therapy was performed. In December 2022, the dog was presented to respondent to evaluate a recurring mass on the right mandible. Oncology referral was declined by complainant. Respondent performed surgery to remove as much of the mass as possible. Biopsy results revealed malignant melanoma. Oncology referral was again made and declined. The incision dehisced and began to granulate. The site was treated as an open wound at that point, and at the end of January 2023, the mass was growing and the dog began to cough. In February of 2023, the dog was evaluated by an oncologist. Thoracic radiographs were consistent with metastasis of his cancer, and the dog continued, the dog's condition waxed and waned with treatment. In March of 2023, the dog began to decline, therefore complainant elected to humanely euthanize the dog. And the committee concluded that no violation of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred, and it was moved and seconded that the board dismiss this issue with no violation. The motion was approved with a vote of 4-0.
Okay, thank you. We have no complaint and no respondent. We have Dr. Nosley as the lead on this one.
These oral tumors in general, but particularly this one. Extremely difficult cases. I've managed several of these. So this was basically your classic difficult oncology case. And when it's in the mouth, you have all kinds of problems with tissue margins, and surgery in general is very difficult. The behavior of the tumor that was ultimately the diagnosis, malignant melanoma, was an amelanotic melanoma, which just means it didn't have melanin pigment in it, but it was still a malignant melanoma. Sometimes confuses the pathologists a little bit. Most of them are pretty good at sorting it out. But that was what was going on here. I think the complainant was fortunate for the quality time that he did have with his dog, because of the, if you read what the initial lesions look like, and in an otherwise pretty healthy mouth, involving several teeth and the mandible and so forth, there was confusion early on regarding the histopath. Sometimes these soft tissue tumors, connective tissue tumors, sarcomas, spindle cell, these can get a little confusing. If you read through the record and hear the battling pathologists in it, one feels that maybe he questioned the original one, but it really doesn't matter. There was a malignancy. As far as the respondent's care, I think it was appropriate. If you have no other option but to a surgical approach and then radiation following that, which was actually done by a prior veterinarian, and that's the way these things go. They metastasize early, they go to the lymph nodes, later on they go to the lungs, they spread to the tissue, and at one point the respondent even said, I think this thing's in the bone. I took out as much as I can. And when you get a patient back from a surgery like this, when a surgeon is doing everything he can to debulk the tumor as best he can, it can be a brutal looking thing. And very often, because we're dealing with cancerous tissue and tissue that's been manipulated many times, you get the hisses too, the sutures broke down. So it's tough. I think the respondent through the whole thing handled it appropriately, did make recommendations for follow-up radiation. This is just what can happen with this disease. So I would agree with the investigative committee and would make a motion to dismiss with no violation.
Second.
Okay, a motion and a second to dismiss case 23-133. Any further discussion?
So in reading the narrative on this, to start out with, I always start out with the complaint response, kind of try to take them in order. They buried the lead, so to speak, that, I mean, this dog had an aggressive cancer that, I mean, that's not initially how he started out with telling my story, but,
no.
So, yeah, I kind of pivot as I read along,
yeah.
But
this owner cared, and he did
he
a lot.
He cared, and he did a lot. He spent a whole lot of money, and he got another year.
He got quality time. The dog didn't decline, which is what happens with these guys.
Yeah.
They're pretty happy. They're pain tolerant. They do well until they don't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's at that point. I mean, dude, different people are going to determine a different endpoint.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think there's any case here at all.
So we have a motion and a second to dismiss case 23-133. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. I just want to make sure, does anyone want to do a break before 11:30 informal? I don't think it's going to be a very long one. Or do you?
Yeah, please.
Yes? Okay. Sounds good. So let's do that, and then we'll reconvene in a few minutes.